Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Good show today. I've got a gentleman on who professes to be and is truly is a chatter. Didn't they let you talk on the radio whenever you had live ads or something like that? Or you record your own spots, right?
Oh, yeah. I come in here and use your stuff, but yeah, Doty's good enough to set me up. Let me do it over again.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show, Jerome Eckleberry from the Main Street Shop. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm doing very well, Bruce Dickey, and thank you for inviting me.
You bet. I'm glad to have you here. We're going to talk about all kinds of things today. We'll talk a little bit about the Main Street Shop, how it got going. I know that you're expanding right now. It's getting bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the exciting thing at Main Street Shop.
That is pretty cool, and we'll talk about how Jerome got started. Tell everybody about yourself and wife, kids, family, mom, all that kind of stuff.
About myself, okay. Yeah, my mom is the famous Henrietta Eckleberry. Everybody calls her Hank.
That's exactly right.
She is a hard act to follow. Hi, Mom. I hope you're listening.
Well, you know, if she's not, she can always put it on the website.
Yeah, she can catch it. My dad was not Guy Eckleberry. He passed away in 99. Wonderful guy. My son is...
Let's hold on a second before we get to Amos. Tell me about your mom.
Tell you about my mom?
Where's she from? She doesn't sound like she's not from Pond Creek.
No, she can't lose that accent. 58 years, she hasn't lost it yet. She was born in Detroit, Michigan, is where she came from. Dad met her in the military and swept her off her feet and brought her to beautiful Fairfield.
I thought she was from, London or something like that.
Oh, no. She's from Detroit. Her parents come from Poland.
Oh, okay.
They were the ones that stood in line and immigrated here. Yeah.
Did they change her name?
Did they change her name?
No. Yeah, whenever her parents came over, what was the main name?
Modzelewski. Modzelewski.
Is that right?
You betcha.
That's cool. Uh-huh. What'd they do up in Detroit? What'd your grandparents do?
Grandparents were, well, of course, Grandma, she was just a stay-at-home person, but my granddad was an excellent mechanic. He worked for Chrysler Corporation for 43 years and retired out of it.
Oh, really?
Yep. He was. He ended up as a racing mechanic for Chrysler Corporation. They made decals of him.
No kidding.
Specifically, the engines that they put on rails.
Is that right?
He was a go-fast guy. My granddad was a natural mechanic.
When you're talking about the engines they put on rails, you're talking about the vehicle, the rail?
Yeah, the vehicle. You know, got the bicycle wheels on the front and a great big scary-looking engine with fire coming out of it.
Yeah.
He used to send me pictures and decals, all kinds of stuff. His name, they called him Happy Hank. That's why they call my mom Hank today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. How long ago did he retire?
Did he retire?
Yeah, you said he worked 46.
Well, he died when I was just 13 years old. So
70.
Yeah, it was.
Thereabouts. Yeah. All right, now, your mother got swept off her feet by a guy. What did he do? I never knew your father.
Dad was in military, but he spent 33 years working for the city of Fairfield in the light plant. That's when they produced the electricity for Fairfield.
Really?
Yep, shoveling coal.
No kidding.
Yep, dad's phone would ring all night. If the power went out, my dad's phone rang, and he went to work.
So he had to go. Now, when he was at work, he wasn't just back in the day. They didn't just shovel coal. He was basically having to make sure the flipping switches and stuff and making sure that the power kept going, right?
Oh, yeah.
He kept the diesel engines running? I guess not the diesel engine.
Yeah, it had a diesel engine. It looked kind of like a train. It was a Fairbanks Morris engine. It was a 24-cylinder, 12 under the floor, 12 above the floor.
Really?
I talked to Dad while he was inside of that engine doing stuff. He'd crawl in it to service it.
No kidding.
Very interesting.
How big of an engine was that?
Huge. You see a train go by?
Yeah.
That's the size of it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. He retired when?
Dad died in 99, so he retired just a couple of years before that. So,
okay. I didn't know when he'd retired.
Cancer took Dad. Terrible disease. Terrible.
That
disease.
Is a terrible disease. Mother, let's get back to Mother. She's doing very well, and she's folks who know Hank know that she has had the occasional health issue recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was in Branson spending my retirement money, and she fell down a set of stairs face first into a barrel, and it broke her neck.
She was fired up about watching Andy Williams' show or something. It wouldn't have been Andy, but it would have been maybe. What show was she at?
Have no idea.
You haven't asked?
No. When I got the phone call from the neurological unit in Missouri, I didn't really care what she was looking at.
You didn't ask Hank?
No. You were on the road
probably pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, right then.
Is that right?
We were on the road immediately. Yeah, okay. We drove out to Missouri. Yeah, and she was more inconvenienced than anything. She wanted off the porch really bad. So she healed very quickly. My mom's a very healthy person, as you know. She's a health nut and walks and super healthy walks. I mean,
dog lover.
Oh yeah, she's a dog hugger, dog lover.
Great guy. Okay, I interrupted you where you were talking about the rest of your family.
I'm married to Cheryl Eckleberry. I had to go to Chicago and get my wife. Girls around here knew me, so I didn't have trouble here. So that was her. We had a daughter, Whitney, and she is in Omaha now, Nebraska.
Okay.
She's married to a guy from Mount Carmel, Nick Winters. He was
their
baseball captain and all that.
Yeah.
But he is a SWAT officer for the Air Force now, and he's stationed in Omaha. Yeah.
Do they get deployed very often, or how often?
He's being deployed now. Again, this is his third time out.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's can't really talk a whole lot about what he's up to. But
probably don't know about it.
Pardon me?
You probably don't know that much about what he's up to.
Yeah, no, he's a pretty secure guy.
Yeah.
But he tells me a little bit. Well, it was like the last time he was there, he said every night he was on a plane between Africa and Afghanistan.
Every night.
That's what he did. He was an escort.
Really?
Well-armed escort.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets the good gun, them guys do, okay?
Is that right?
Yeah.
He gets it for free.
Yeah. He didn't really he was telling me one time, he said, the nature of his job, whenever our military guys was having Thanksgiving dinner, he's the guy that had to guard the door.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So he gets an MRE for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All the other boys are.
Everybody else is enjoying turkey and dressing and
bless
stuff.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, that's what.
Bless his heart.
What's your daughter doing up there?
My daughter works at ConAgra.
Oh,
her office is in ConAgra, but her actual employer is out of Chicago, so she'll fly back and forth that way. She's sort of a liaison for another company.
Well, you were able at least to keep Amos in town.
Yep, Amos stayed in town. That would be Ace Custom Rod and Upholstery Shop in town. If you ever want to see something cool, walk in his shop. You'll think you're in a Hot Rod magazine.
Is that right?
Unbelievable.
No
the
kidding.
The cars in his place.
It's been probably 5 years since I was in there. I had an upholstery. It's a top I needed redone.
Mm-hmm.
And might be longer than that now that I think about it. Probably seven or eight years. And, even back then, the shop was just amazing.
He's a creative boy is what it is. He's got an art side to him that come out. He's a seamstress. Hear that, Amos? Seamstress.
what do you call it if it's a male?
That's what he calls himself. Yeah. And he kind of smiles, if you can look at Amos, you got to kind of
I've never heard. Well, that's the thing. I've never heard of seamster.
Yeah, seamster. Well, I guess that's true. Yeah. He does write for a couple of Hot Rod magazines,
too.
Yeah, he's well into it. The vehicles are wonderful. If you like old vehicles, cool, collectible stuff. Yeah.
So this leads into you at Main Street Shop. You've kind of got a background of engines all the way around, don't you?
Yeah, it seems like in our family there's a lean towards mechanical things. It's different people think easily about different things. Carpenters can figure stairs, raise and tread.
Right.
Well, mechanically, I don't know, that's just suits me. I like it better. So, and it kind of goes all through the family, really.
And that you were able to take advantage of that in some of your earlier jobs, right? Before you started the Main Street Shop, you worked at the Speed Shop for a while?
Oh, yeah. Worked Wayne County Speed Shop for a couple of years. Worked at Lear Ford for a little bit. Oh, the Wayne County Speed Shop was excellent. Got to hang around Mike Sullivan.
Yeah?
Mike Sullivan.
He's a pistol, isn't he?
He is a pistol. But the way he thinks is interesting. He's he just thinks differently than most people.
How do you mean?
He thinks in terms of question. You ask him a question, he will ask you a question back. If you can solve his question, it will answer yours. So his is he's always constantly asking another question. That's how they got to be so fast. He kept saying, I guess, how can I go faster? How can I go faster? Yeah. How can I go faster? Yeah. By golly, they did.
Too. They did. Yeah.
They did. This is about the Darrell Alderman time.
Okay. Okay. Was that a lot of fun? Were you able to, were you part of the crew that would go to the races, or did you stay back, or where were you in the crew? Or did you, you probably hung out with my neighbor who passed away several years ago, Jerry.
Well, this is going to be an interesting sentence. Try this. I have never been to a race in my life.
No ever. Kidding.
But I have driven on the Indianapolis 500 track when I was 17 years old.
I did. Whoa.
Yeah. I drove on, but I've never been to a race. Not interested in the race. I'm interested in the machines.
I've got Jerome Eckleberry here. We're talking about all kinds of things. We're going to get eventually to the Main Street shop, but whenever we get back, I want to know how exactly he was able to drive on the Indy 500 track. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390, WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these.
Well, I'm a traveling man, don't tie me down. There's just too much living going all around. A man, he's got to see what he can see. Well, I love the road and I love the air, and I don't worry, hell, I never care. I love my women, sometimes they love me. But I was got one day, I still don't know how. I didn't even like that town. This fella said, stranger, why don't you just go on home? Well, I said, man, that's where I'm headed to, and you couldn't stop me if you knew what to do. And I left and I planned to go along, but the road was long and home was far. So I stopped off this little cowboy looking bar, walked on through the door, she just smiled. Well, in a long ponytail and a pretty white dress, she said, hi, bull riders do it best. I said, oh my God, what's your name? My name's Rob. And I said, ooh, get back my heart, you kick a redneck woman, take your boots and walk out of my life. And I said, get back my heart, you kick a redneck woman, I can't be no cowgirl paradise. When I looked at her and she looked at me, and I looked back and she looked back, and we went out together for a walk. Lord, her eyes were bright just like the stars, but she drove a pickup, said she hated cars, but loved to ride around out after dark.
More folks. And I said, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Talking this morning with Jerome Eckleberry. He's the owner of Main Street Shop here in Fairfield. Appreciate him spending some time with us today. And before we get on to the Main Street Shop, Jerome, I want to know, how in the world do you become a 17-year-old driving on the track at the Indianapolis 500? How in the world does that happen?
Well, it wasn't during the race, of course, but I worked at a place called Tire Service Company, who is well associated with the people at the Indianapolis track.
Where was that out of?
Indianapolis.
Tire Service Company?
Oh, Tire Service Company is a Michelin dealer downtown Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
There are 11 blocks off of the center of town. I was walking back then, didn't have a car, but yeah. The boss really liked me a lot, and he got me into the track. Even being 17, you have to be 18 to be in the pits, but I was down there when I was 17. I had all the badges hanging all over my shirt. But also I did the alignment shop, and what happened was the pace cars needed to be aligned to that track. They wanted to change the camber because of the banks.
Okay.
So they also got Cook, that was Ed Cook, my boss, got me to where I could test drive those pace cars on the Indianapolis track.
So you were test driving pace cars just basically to make sure that they don't, with the banks of the track.
Right, for the drift.
That they weren't going to fall apart and like wreck or something, right?
Well, yeah, they didn't want the car to drift because you have to hit over 100 miles an hour on that track.
To stay on.
Right, to stay on the track. Yeah, so they had me alter the camber and then I brought it back. There's caster camber on. That's adjustments that you do on a front
what
end.
What was your first impression of the track? Tell me about you mentioned something earlier about the fellow driving by.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to a race, but during the time trials, there was a driver called Salt Waltham. And I was wandering around 17, stupid, you know. I stood on the track when Salt went by. Oh, my goodness. Don't get off the track right now. Don't ever do that again. Never. You can't focus on a car doing that fast standing
really?
Anywhere near that car.
See, now, I've never been around anything going that fast. It just it, to me, it's it must just be an amazing your eyes don't even focus that quick.
You can't focus that quick. The car looks like kind of a mirage. It just the image of it is moves, it blurs as it goes by, as your eyes trying to it's called lines of disparity. It's where your eyes cross, you get a distance.
Yeah,
well, they'll move and follow that object. That's how you can see how far away it is. You can't do it that fast. It was scary. Okay. Very scary.
You're there at the track, you're driving the pace cars, and was that the only thing that you drove, or what else did you drive?
No, they had a first responder, what they called a fire truck. It was either a 1947 or 1948 Ford painted bright red, and it had extinguishers and things on it, some medical stuff. But it was a Chevrolet powered 327. That car was quick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it'd get around that track, I mean, right now.
Yeah.
So I got to drive it, too, because they wanted to change the camber on it, and I'm saying, really? Really?
How fast did you drive?
Put me in, coach.
How fast did you drive on the track?
Well,
in either that, the pace car, or the fire truck?
It was necessary to do over 100.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Cook told me. That's probably not the truth. He just knew I was scared of it.
Yeah.
He did me in a Pantera one time. That's another story altogether. I won't ride with him ever again either. But anyway,
Panteras are very fast, aren't they?
This one was a race car. It was built for flat track racing, and the problem was over 150 on it, and I refused to drive it. And Cook put me in that car and took me around 375 Indianapolis. He was a race car driver. I was going to kill him. You couldn't pry me off that chair with a claw handle. I was terrified. But 100 on the Indianapolis track is slow, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving on a parking lot, so you don't have anything to compare by, so you're just kind of, the only way you know you're doing 100 is a speedometer.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of dinking along, you know? So it's not as cool as it sounds.
So why'd you leave Indy?
Why did I leave Indy?
Come back home?
I graduated from school. I was there for school specifically.
Oh,
I went
I see.
To Lincoln Tech, and I graduated and left thereafter.
Then tell me about starting the Main Street Shop. I know that you had a partner.
Yeah, Main Street Shop, when it was originally opened, my wife named Main Street Shop, incidentally, but I hooked up with a guy named Tracy Bunning. He was into electronics,
yeah.
And neither one of us could afford a business on our own, so we shared it.
Sure.
I then bought him out later on. He went on and got a real job.
Tracy doing that?
Tracy works for a company in Carmi, Trelleborg.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. He's some sort of an engineer. I spoke to him recently. He's doing well. But I'm still in the building.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about what's the main thing you guys – I know that you have the riding lawnmowers, the Skag riding lawnmowers, but what is the main – what's your are they Skag your main product, or what's the main product out there?
Main Street Shop represents two companies. I've narrowed it down to two. We had to get exclusive for a couple of reasons, but Husqvarna is one company and Skag is the other. It makes us well rounded. We're able to meet just about any kind of a need with that group. Skag being commercial, heavy duty, hairy chested kind of a thing, fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Husqvarna with a really wide variety and a great history. They're amazing companies, both these companies.
Tell me about them. Tell me about one at a time.
Okay.
Take your pick, which you like first.
Well,
who you been with the longest?
The longest?
Yeah.
Probably Husqvarna.
I mean, it kind of
longest.
What was your process of narrowing it down, which companies you like to work with to finally focus on Husqvarna for that side of your business?
Husqvarna was back when I very first started. The reason I picked them up was I needed to do some retailing. At that time, I was a service-only shop,
yeah.
And I'd hooked up with engine manufacturers, Briggs & Stratton, Kohler, that sort. Well, it became necessary to offer a whole good to go into the retail market, and at that time, Husqvarna was only chainsaws.
Yeah.
So I visited the chainsaw market to get more involved in the two-cycle world. It just grew, of course, as Husqvarna grew. 1978, Electrolux purchased the company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought Husqvarna was still its own, was its own. This is the out of Norway, right, or is it Sweden?
They're Sweden, yeah. Husqvarna Sweden. Company is in the village of Husqvarna on the Husqvarna River at their original location. This is 327 years.
Wow.
That would be 1689.
Have you ever been out there?
No, Sweden?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't know if they'd taken you on like some kind of factory tour or something like
that. Oh, no, not yet, no. I'm not sure I'd want to go to Sweden, really. It'd be okay. But.
Tell me about this company. 327 years old, huh?
Yeah, 327-year-old company. They originated as a rifle company. They made rifles for the King of Sweden. They're still in their original millwork. That's something else about Husqvarna. They have a water wheel that comes into that original factory and run off of belts, the lathes with the big belts. They still use those, the water power. Of course, they also have the robots that create things. They're a super cash-wealthy company. When I say cash-wealthy, I mean great big pile of gold and guy with a scoop shovel.
They got the Scrooge McDuck room.
The Scrooge McDuck room, yeah. They're a different kind of a company. But Electrolux is actually the checkbook, daddy checkbook, who owns many other companies. They own Poland. They're an acquisition company. And Electrolux, by the way, is not a vacuum cleaner company.
Really?
They are a air conditioning compressor company in Europe. So if you got a freezer or a car with air conditioning, Electrolux produces that pump for you.
It's the same company, though.
It's the same company.
Right?
Mr. Electrolux probably had some dorky son that was causing trouble, so he invented a company.
Yeah.
You know, here, son, here's your vacuum cleaner company. They're a fine vacuum.
They're fine
cleaner. Don't get me wrong.
Well, now, do you work on you don't work on those too, do you?
No, it's I agree to only certain things. They still make rifles, too.
Uh-huh.
They make motorcycles. They make a fantastic sewing machine in the embroidery world.
They make motorcycles.
They make motorcycles. Very fast and pricey.
See, I've seen the Husqvarna sewing machines as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll see those quite a bit around.
Yeah.
You don't see any Husqvarna motorcycles in the U.S., do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I even had one. They're big into the dirt bikes. They started making motorcycles like in 1928. I got a picture of one hanging on the wall. Looks like a Harley. I'd love to have one. But
no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Husqvarna, you've been with since very close to the beginning then.
Yep. Very close to the beginning.
They are pretty easy to work with?
Yes, they are. They're demanding. Okay. You got to jump
really? How do you mean?
Well, the schooling and testing, we're required to do a lot of school, hands-on. Plus, we go online and do what they call Husqvarna University.
Okay.
They are very big on education, very big.
No kidding.
Yep, you got to qualify. Take the test.
So that's the thing. That's one of the things. They're probably relatively exclusive then on picking dealers.
Yeah, they're I think they just look for saturation is what they look for. There's a demographic. In other words, they will look at a territory, and in a business atlas, they determine how many machines should be moved in that area, and they will sample that. If you don't meet that requirement, they're going to visit other dealers.
No kidding.
Okay, yeah, they will look for other outlets. Fortunately, we don't have that trouble around here.
Yeah.
We move a lot of stuff, really.
Tell me, what's the what do you sell most of when you're talking about the Husqvarnas? Do you sell more of your mowers, a push mower, or a riding mower, or what's the big item?
Well, of course, the chainsaws are world class.
Yeah.
People buy a lot of those. I don't know in units. I would say the chainsaws, but in dollars, it would have to be the mowers because they're a bigger ticket item. We move a lot of those.
Tell me about the engine. When you and I talked last time, and you're basically the one part. You're the guy who has me putting the 91, 92, 93 into my car. Other than it was kind of suggested in the owner's manual that I put But a lot of people don't read their owner's manual for their vehicles, right?
Nope. Well, it's no, I read it for you.
Explain to me why whenever your owner's manual tells you to put that high the high level of fuel in there, you're the engine guy.
Okay.
Why do I need to pay attention to that instead of going with the cheaper?
Well, a big thing in 87 octane burns really hot and erratic. Since 9/11 occurred, the military specced out the fuels, and they started adding a lot of other filler into that so their equipment would run correctly.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was really detrimental to the small engine world because small engines don't have radiators. Well, the heat is a problem. When they design these engines, they design them for a particular temperature range.
Sure.
Well, you go put in a lower octane, that engine's going to burn hotter. It's going to start, the fuel actually light before the piston gets to the top of the cylinder.
Oh, really?
Well, this is about, you remember the Chevys trying to make it uphill and it sounded like they were dragging a bucket of bolts?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening in that two cycle, except you can't hear it because that motor's running three times as fast.
I see.
Big heat. When the corn gas hit, corn burns a lot hotter. That spiked the fuel about another 100, 150 degrees. Heat kills that engine, okay? So that's one of the problems. As far as octane, you go to the center octane, 89 octane at least, because you're also getting the detergents from a premium fuel.
Right.
And the reason for that, this gets kind of, you know.
You go ahead.
Okay.
Right. When you get
when you get too
deep and wonky, I'll stop you. But I'm still trying to follow.
Okay.
Because I use the higher level of gas, and I want, I guess I need to be reassured that I'm doing the right thing.
Okay. Two big reasons to burn a higher octane. One is the engineers designed that engine for a higher octane fuel to run at its best performance. I mean, as far as ignition timing, the compression.
Yeah.
In particular, compression, because as the higher the compression, the higher octane you need to run.
Okay.
Okay, because compression, if you squeeze it too tight, the gas will just light without the spark plug lighting.
I see.
So you want a controlled burn. That engine was designed to burn that way, and it'll run cooler and longer. The other reason is this regular fuel with all that crud builds up on top of the piston. That makes a piston taller. Well, that raises the compression. Well, that means the gas is going to burn all by itself. Well, it also, with the compression being raised, makes that engine harder to achieve that power. So you want something to scrub the top of the piston off. Well, 89 is a blend of the higher 92 octane and the 87 octane.
Yeah.
So you're getting an 89 octane, which lets the fuel burn at the right compression.
Okay.
Well, then you're getting the detergent, cleans the top of the piston off.
Okay.
Some of these new smart systems that's coming out can tell you, okay, I had a guy brought a saw in,
And this is just a chainsaw.
Yeah, just a chainsaw, and I plugged my laptop in it, okay? And the laptop read out the error codes on it. I told the guy he had started his saw 1,367 times, run an average of 7 minutes. The average temperature was 72 degrees, and he was burning the wrong gas. He looked at me and said, "That tells you that?" I said, "Yeah, it does." This is about the time the failure occurred.
See, now that's the thing on your chainsaws and I presume your leaf blowers and the lawnmowers, your push mowers, as well as the riding mowers, they need the higher octane then.
Yes, they require the higher octane, but the two strokes are really the ones that feel the pressure the most.
Really?
Yeah, a four-cycle doesn't have – their RPM's quite a bit lower.
Okay.
You get a two-stroke, and they're running 10,000 RPM.
Yeah.
Some of them's 14,000,
yeah.
The professional.
That's your leaf blower and your chainsaw.
Yep. Yeah. And your lawnmowers run 3,600 RPM.
Yeah.
And they got big fans and things on them, so they don't feel it so bad. But the other problem is the caustics start burning up the rubber components in your fuel, the fuel line, the diaphragms, caustic stuff in the fuel.
Oh, okay, the extra gook.
Acid, yeah.
Gook. Yeah.
Like there's sulfurics added into some
okay.
of these fuels. Your truck doesn't really care because it has a computer and stainless steel fuel lines and tanks.
Yeah.
Well, but you gave $40,000 for your truck.
That's right.
Well, I think Lynn gave $50,000 for his. I'm not sure. But on a lawnmower, you don't. There's no money in there to to put that sophisticated of the fuel.
Sure, sure.
And then you get done mowing, you park it out there in the shed and let it cook in July.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all this adds greatly to my retirement fund.
I like that. You're getting a lot more work out of that,
awful,
then, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm the guy you don't want to talk to, you know? Hey, Jerome, today's my day off and my lawnmower don't work.
Oh. I'm talking to Jerome Eckelberry from the Main Street Shop. We'll be back in the Bruce Dickey Show on WFIW 104.9 FM and AM 1390. Back in a sec. That's impressive. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. My guest is Jerome Eckelberry. We've been talking about Main Street Shop, and we were talking about Husqvarna. Your other main brand that you're keeping out there, it's Skag, right?
Yep, Skag.
Why Skag? How did you come upon drove you to that decision to use those folks?
Well, I like the name Skag. Well, okay, just well, see, they have misspelled. No humor about
it's
that.
It's misspelled
okay?
In the U.S. It's or at least in Wayne County, it's SK.
Well, Skag actually, you know, and they have no humor when you talk about the
when you make fun of their name. I bet not.
They just have this real straight look. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It is actually, the guy's name was Dane Skag.
Oh, okay.
He worked for Gravely. He was an engineer for Gravely, and he had this design, and Gravely said, nope, we don't want it. And he said, okay, and he went to Mayville Metal Crafters in Wisconsin, brought the design, and they started producing it. He was only there for 3 years.
Okay.
Because he likes to get stuff going. Then he went on. He went in. He also created Dane Lawnmowers.
Okay.
He recently died. There was another one he did, too, and I can't remember. Brilliant man. He had it figured out. He designed a lawnmower and then figured out how to get a seat on it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's specifically designed for production. It's efficient.
Oh, is that
very
right?
Efficient lawnmower, yeah.
And this is mainly your riders and your zero turns and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's zero. They do not make a tractor. It's all zero turn lawnmowers. They're in the commercial market. They are doted as a commercial mower. But last year they did come up with a homeowner mower. It's a serious lawnmower, but it doesn't carry the warranty. It's meant for a guy that has 3 acres of yard and he's suffering, and he likes to get 9 holes in before dark.
Yeah, so a little zip, huh?
A little zip. It gives you your weekend back. That's exactly what it does. Well, if you can mow your grass in half the time, that's half the gas, right?
Sure, well, you would think.
Isn't that also going to make the machine last twice as long?
We one would
this
hope.
This is math. I'm good with two. Divide by two, multiply by two. Yeah. So you're going to burn half the gas, and the mower's going to last twice as long.
Yeah.
And you're going to get half of your mowing time back on the weekend. That's spare time. Remember
that's
spare
exactly.
time?
Yeah. That used to be something fun.
That's a spare time giver backer is what that is.
Now, did I hear, or they have some military applications too from Skag, do you? Or you can't talk about that?
Yeah, I can a little bit. I called them up, and they really are a very humble company. I was going to do a radio ad with you guys, and they put a hole in my head on that. Well, they said, we really would rather you didn't do that. But yeah, Skag is a metal manufacturing company in Wisconsin, and they produce, I'll just say it, they produce the gun turrets that's on the Hummers that's currently in use in the military. Another one specific is the belly armor on the Bradley fighting vehicles. Skag produces that. Well,
Their metalworks do that.
Yeah, their metalworks. It's a big metal shop. They make probably, I think it's 1,300 or 1,400 part numbers for Caterpillar.
Oh, no kidding.
That's why it looks that way, yeah. If you ever look at the stamping on the floorboard on Skag mower, it's the same as the bulldozers.
Is that right?
Yeah, they make some stuff.
See, it's
some
the same color too,
too,
isn't it?
The same. Yeah, I think they just.
I mean, the paint's the same color.
I wondered where they got the paint, and I'm thinking, well, they just put a little dab of orange in there and called it Cat Eye Gold, you know? Yeah. It's pretty amazing the machines are, but yeah, they're very.
How long have you been selling Skag?
How long have I been selling Skag? Yeah. Well, I bought one. I didn't write it down. I'm terrible with dates, but the one I sold to myself is 18 years old.
Last year,
this is its 19th year.
Wow.
Yeah, I did have to buy a belt for it though, so it's not. It's been a long time ago. I still got it.
All right. So, okay. Now, you know engines, and you know how to work engines and that kind of stuff. If I've got the farm out in Wayne City that's got 5 acres or something like that. If I buy a Skag, how long can I expect something like that to last?
5 acres, rest of your natural life. You'll need to put that in your will, Bruce.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's going to outlast you.
Well, you see, that's not that bad a thing. I'm not going to live that long anyway.
Well, I was thinking maybe you had the little bride out there.
There you know. That's the thought.
Work on the tan, little
bits
of pressure.
That's the thought. I like that thinking. Okay. But you're not, now that you're mowing, you've been mowing for 18 years with Skag, you've got less to mow nowadays, though, as I've driven by the Main Street shop over the past few months. You've got a little bit less to mow out there.
Oh, you mean the addition?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really not making it bigger. I am rearranging my space. I put 26.
Well, you got a new building out there, don't you?
Yeah. I've added 26 feet on the north end of the building. That's going to be a showroom. You're going to have to come look at this. This is my art project. Yeah. I'm letting a string out
been
on
out
this
there. I've been out there for probably about 3 or 4 months, I'll bet.
Okay. Well, it's been. I'm doing it myself, so it's going kind of slow. Nights and weekends. I was up there at 7:30 last night. Was that when I called you last night?
Yeah.
I was still there, you know. It's my favorite toy. I like
it. Well, you see, now that's cool. When do you think you're going to be done? What's your time frame on the – or will you ever be done rearranging stuff?
Probably won't be ever done, I don't think. It's an ongoing project. It's like a toy. I get it out every day and play with it. I just love Main Street Shop. It's really fun. The people are great. But we're going to cut 20 feet off of the front of the building. I'm going to put some showroom up there. I'm going to girl the place up. It's going to look a lot better.
Well, see, now that's nice. I didn't realize that you were going to showroom the front of it.
Yeah, the showroom – What do you see?
You're building in the back then is more workspace?
No, it's a showroom, specifically a showroom. You will enter.
So what are you going to do in
bathroom,
the front?
Indoor plumbing, Bruce.
Wait a second.
Yep.
Indoor plumbing.
That's awful. Yeah. It's good. We have a lot of product. I can't display. I've got stuff everywhere. My little showroom isn't.
Well, that's the thing. When folks come out there and look to and are looking for something, a lot of times you have to basically take them into other buildings and other places to show them what they're looking for, right?
Yep, got to walk them around. But we started out as a service shop, and what's happened is, thank you, Fairfield, okay?
Yeah.
You've grown us. We're now a retailer with a support shop. That's what's happening.
Well, see, now that's
so
good.
I'm just trying to catch up with everybody else. I'm just old bullheaded Pollock, and I don't go very fast. I just, you know, it's my pace, and I don't want to. I'm the biggest problem. I'm the anchor of Main Street Shop.
You're the anchor. You're the one dragging it down.
I'm dragging it down. You betcha.
Well, Jerome, it sounds like the future of it out there is the new shop, then, huh? The new showroom.
Yeah, it's going to be a redo on it. You'll have to come in and take a look. It'll be a more pleasant experience. You'll be able to walk around, browse. I've got a lot of stuff you're going to, and it's pretty exciting what I'm going to do back. I mean, you know, lawnmowers aren't very exciting.
Well, no,
thing,
but I mean,
you know,
it's exciting when you get one of those leaf blowers to work.
Yeah. When it works, it's a much better day off.
Jerome, thanks very much for coming in on the Bruce Dickey Show today.
Well, you're very welcome. Bruce, you have to call me again.
I appreciate it. We'll do it. That's Jerome Eckleberry from the Main Street Shop here in Fairfield. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to y'all again tomorrow.